Music from the Canadian Opera Company right here in Toronto, and the company is in collaboration with Tapestry Opera for a new piece that opens this June, and we're playing that for very good reason. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore, our look at arts and culture. This June, Toronto audiences are invited to experience the Canadian premiere of 10 Days in a Madhouse, which is a bold, contemporary opera by American composer René Orth and acclaimed Canadian playwright Hannah Moscovich. It's inspired by the investigative journalist Nellie Bly and tells the story of her daring 1887 exposé when she feigned mental illness to investigate patient abuse at a woman's lunatic asylum on Blackwell's Island. What she uncovered was a world designed to break the human spirit, a system that labeled women's grief, poverty, and trauma as insanity. 10 Days in a Madhouse was awarded Best New Opera by the Music Critics Association of North America. It's been praised by the New York Times as a, quote, work that treats opera with affection and respect while chafing at its tropes. The Canadian premiere is produced by Tapestry Opera in collaboration with Luminato Festival, the Canadian Opera Company, and TO Live. It runs for 4 performances at the Blumenthal Theatre June 16th through 21st. Tickets on sale now through tapestryopera.com and tolive.com. Tapestry Opera's artistic director, Michael Morey, is a leader in contemporary opera commissioning and production. He's a 2-time Dora Award winner. Under his leadership, Tapestry Opera has expanded its productions, partnerships, and audience reach, including collaborations with major cultural organizations across Canada and internationally. He joins us now. Michael, welcome.
Thanks so much. It's really fun to be here.
Great to be with you once again. Remind us what Tapestry Opera's role is in Toronto, in Canada. What does it set out to do?
What we're really trying to do is make opera more about us, more about contemporary Canadians.
Right.
So we're looking to say, you know, what Mozart was writing for Vienna at the time. What do composers want to write for now, and how would it sound? So Tapestry's job is to commission and develop new operas that in some way reflect something about our experience, our Canadian identity as musicians, as composers, and just as people.
Pretty vital for the form.
Yeah, we're the only dedicated company in Canada that is premiering new works every single year.
We had Hope Mir in here a couple weeks ago talking about what's going on with National Ballet.
Yeah.
And it feels like it is a moment, right? We're looking ahead, we're looking at these art forms, and we're saying, okay, it's great to have the classical form. You've got to have the Puccinis and the Verdis in this world, but we have to keep looking forward, right?
And Puccini and Verdi would say the same thing.
Right.
They would say, like, why isn't it being made right now? This is what is so exciting about art, is it's made to express the things that are inside of us right now. And now's the time.
Now is the time. So we look to this piece, 10 Days in a Madhouse. I think just with the T's off the top here, this is a pretty interesting story. We see Tapestry, mm-hmm. a part of this, Canadian Opera Company, TO Live and Luminato, all mm-hmm. huge players. That's a lot of firepower. Why are all these companies behind this? What is it about it?
Well, look, sometimes when we do new Canadian theater or music or dance even, it's a two-hander. It's a three-hander. It's a great, beautiful, bold thing, but it is at smaller scale.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to sell a Carmen or a Marriage of Figaro because people know the name and there's an established audience for that. So I think what we're all saying is we value the same thing. We want to support great Canadian artists. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we just need to work together in order to do things of this scale. So this will be a larger production with orchestra and chorus telling this story. You know, you need a chorus of women in order to tell the story about an insane asylum.
What's interesting to me is that there is a belief. I mean, TO Live, COC, Tapestry, mm-hmm. part of this Luminato Festival. Everybody obviously liked this story and liked what was going on here. So tell us about this story because it's a fascinator.
I've been reading Nellie Bly's writing and then reading biographies of her for the last year and a half.
Late 19th century. She's
wild.
Sort of around during the Romantic period, at least from a classical standpoint.
Yeah.
And what's she doing?
I mean, she became a writer at an incredibly young age when women weren't writing except for fashion and sort of culture. And immediately she started sort of pitching herself as, I'm going to go undercover. And she's one of the founders of investigative journalism as we know it.
I wonder what motivated her to want to, I mean, A, go undercover, and B, tackle a story like this.
I think she came from a family that had lost their fortune sort of mid as she was growing up. And so
feels like a good motivator.
Yeah. Well, exactly. She had the education, but then she had everything taken away. And so she became quite scrappy before she moved to New York. And when she moved to New York, I think hearing no from every single publisher was what motivated her to go back and say, yes, no, here's why you're going to hire me.
Wow.
And then the first time she wrote an article, they sold tons. And all of a sudden...
That always helps.
Yeah. Well, she started getting paid the same as men and then eventually started getting paid more.
So she goes undercover and she goes into what was known at the time as a madhouse, as an insane asylum. And what does she find?
She finds that, so she pretends to be crazy in order to be caught.
Right.
And then what she promised she would do is when she gets inside, she just acts sane from the moment that she gets there. And she says the crazy thing is they didn't treat her like a crazy person until she started acting sane. And so she sees that the nurses are eating normal meals at the same tables as the inmates, but the inmates are eating moldy gruel. And there's all of these like psychological things where no one would ever be believed because there's no science to it yet. And so it's a kind of place of pseudoscience run by a couple of doctors where people are malnourished and beaten and mistreated and that there's no way out. The rumor was no one ever makes it out of this asylum.
Wow.
And so that's what she wanted to investigate.
So, I mean, it's this historical piece and we're looking at this moment in time. I mean, where does it resonate for you now? Why tell this story now?
Oh, man. I mean, talk about people unfairly being put into... facilities where there's no way out and there's no communication goes in or out either. It's a very powerful reminder that journalism is more necessary than ever.
Right.
The fascinating thing about her is she actually got New York, which is where Blackwell Island was, to commit to a massive reform in how they treated the mentally ill, including investing. I think they more than doubled their investment in it because of the outrage that her article created.
If you are just joining us, artistic director with Tapestry Opera, Michael Morey is with us. His Tapestry co-pro with the COC, TO Live, and Luminato is 10 Days in a Madhouse. We're hearing about it. It opens in mid-June for 4 performances at the Blue Mapel in downtown Toronto. Tickets on sale now, tapestryopera.com and tolive.com. Give us a feel about how you're presenting this on stage. What are some of the decisions that are being made to make this look a certain way?
It's pretty wild. So the institution of the building of the asylum is very present in the middle of the stage. It's a giant cylinder. On top of the cylinder is the orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And then inside of the cylinder in different rooms, and then, of course, around the space or where the inmates are. So it's very stark, very hard. And yet, of course, in all of this are these incredible relationships. I think even just sonically, it's going to feel very special, partly because of Renee's score. But if you know Hannah Moscovich's work, it's dark, it's powerful. The text will hit you really hard. Musically, what fascinates me is that Renee Orth has a background in electronic music and electronica, and often I've heard a lot of new operas where people sort of cringe at how recordings or things or amplification is integrated into an opera, and this is one of the examples that I love. I think it's why the Music Critics Association gave it a nod, because it's dramaturgical. Like, her use of electronica is as Nellie is going more and more crazy every day as she's not being believed, as she's being beaten, as she's being starved. And just testing what is actually possible for the human psyche to endure in those conditions of imprisonment.
I like that idea of a dramaturgical. I think it's important to get some parameters going, but also to make some choices like that, like electronic music. And tell us about your talent.
Yeah, I think many Torontonians will know Mireille Asselin. She's a very talented soprano who came through the COC Ensemble, has performed with Tapestry and with Opera Atelier. Fantastic actress. Fantastic singer. She'll be playing Nellie Bly. We have Lauren Pearl, who is those in Toronto who saw our crazy show where we had all of the opera on a wall, and she was a climber. She was flying through space as an aerialist.
Sounds like Cirque du Soleil, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we try to make it fun.
Yeah, right.
So last time she was seen here was on that amazing show at the Royal Conservatory on the wall. So she's coming back to be the nurse. And honestly, a full ensemble of incredibly talented people. Jarrell Williams, the principal in Of the Sea a few years ago at TO Live with Luminato, and Taylor Alexis DuPont, who is the mezzo, who also took part in the original production.
So some wonderful talent right there. A fascinating stage production, downtown Toronto. It's all happening during Luminato, and a big co-pro with Tapestry and COC and TO Live. Congratulations on getting us off the ground. It's pretty incredible.
Thanks so much, Mark.
What's happening as you look to other parts of your season and your work right now?
Well, you may not know, but we just opened a new theater a year ago in March, actually.
You did invite me. I haven't been yet.
Hopefully we'll get you out.
Yeah.
It's super close to Yonge and Bloor, so it's really easy to get to.
Egg on my face.
It kind of reminds me of all of those underground venues in New York where you kind of walk by, you wouldn't know it's there except for there's one interesting sort of doorway, and then you go down and we have a beautiful theater, studio, and offices down there. We've been doing free concerts every month. Find out about that at tapestryopera.com. And also, we have a big show with music by Anna Sokolovich and a new story written by me called Love Songs. And that's going to be an incredible duet between a soprano and a contemporary tap dancer. So that's coming up in 2 weeks at our new space.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So we should look for that. And we can head to the website, tapestryopera.com, for the free concerts and that upcoming tap and voice concert, which is coming up in a couple weeks, plus 10 days in a madhouse. And artistic director with Tapestry Opera, Michael Morey, thank you very much for being our guide here.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to be here.
The Tapestry Opera CoPro is with the COC, TO Live, and Luminato. 10 Days in the Madhouse, a fascinating story, opens in mid-June for 4 performances at the Bloemhotel in downtown Toronto. Tickets on sale now through tapestryopera.com and tolive.com. I'm sure you can look at the Luminato site as well. My name is Mark Wigmore. Your look at arts and culture on the New Classical FM.